You're listening to The Word from Westwood, a series of podcasts featuring sermons preached at Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles, California.
Good morning. I'm reading from Matthew 2, verses 1 to 6. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, and they were asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'"
Balthazar, Caspar, Melchior. Those are the names that the Western church tradition has given to the wise men from the east. And through the centuries, they've captured our imagination. We hear of them in opera, in song, in art, in stories that have been written. And they certainly were the subject of interest for the gospel writer Matthew, who told of their journey to find the child who was destined to be the king of the Jews. Now, Matthew really did not tell us much about them, or even the number of them, because the number 3 that is assigned to them is tradition. Oh, there's speculation that they may have been Zoroastrian priests who were astrologers and sages. It is doubtful that they were kings in the way we might think of a king. Then there are those who suggest that the mention of them at all was something that was more of a symbol than anything else, that they represented this theological idea that the Christ was universal, that the Christ was for all people, and the very appearance of these strangers from the east was in Matthew's gospel confirmation of that fact. Well, perhaps Matthew did not fill in the blanks any more than we have, because this story is really more about intrigue, and namely King Herod's response to what was happening and how this moves the storyline along in the gospel. As we heard, the Magi, as soon as they were introduced, find themselves in the middle of a predicament. They arrive in Jerusalem. They announce their business that they had seen a star, a sign that a king had been born. And word got to Herod, and to say that he was concerned and out of sorts would probably be an understatement. Of course, that would not be an unreasonable response if you thought that a usurper to your role and to your power had now appeared. But for Matthew's story, it was a foreshadowing of how paranoia would set in on the king's part. And after all, the monarchy and power structure, everything that was there, in essence, was being put on notice by the birth of this child that things were not right. The announcement that a competing entity was on the scene was going to make for a most difficult time. This was the setting we're dealing with for the birth of the Christ child in Matthew's gospel. God's people, Israel, had once again lost their way. Their king, Herod, was a puppet for the interests of Rome. And it felt like everything that was wrong was winning. Where do we find ourselves today? Does it ever feel like everything that is wrong seems to be winning? What is the scenario you and I walk into every day of the week? We who say we choose to follow Jesus, are we searching for him? Do we find presence of him? What friends do we find every day?
Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." Well, when they heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was.
It was clear from Matthew's gospel that Herod felt threatened, and he tried to deceive the Magi in order to gain information about the child. But the mysterious visitors continued the journey, following the star until they reached their destination, and they did not waver from their task, even though we might believe that they knew exactly, and I choose to believe, they knew exactly what Herod was up to. They were unwavering in fulfilling their quest to find the child. We live in times when, for people of faith who are justice seekers, who are peace seekers, people who are committed to loving one another as self, are greatly challenged. Much is happening around us that flies in the face of the ideals that we hold up as noble and right. We have been reminding ourselves, friends, these last weeks of these concepts of hope and peace and joy and love and how they represent God's ideal for the world in which we live. It is so easy to get caught up in the cynicism of our age. It is so easy to say that the problems that we see around us are other people's to solve. It is so easy to be seduced to the notion that power and wealth are really all it is about. But we're called to something different. We are called to continue to look for the child. We are called to follow the words of the ancient prophet Micah, to do the work of seeking justice and to love kindness, and through all of this to be walking humbly with our God. Yes, friends, we are called to forge ahead in spite of everything we find around us that challenges our sensibilities. And why do we do it? Because we know who that child is in that manger. We know the hope and the redemption that the babe of Bethlehem represents from each of us. We know how that child has touched each of us here today, and how that child has transformed our lives and the lives of people around us. And that's why we do not give up. That is why we follow through, even when it seems like there is a challenge around every corner. We follow that star to this day because we know the infant that was born in that manger long ago has profoundly changed our world.
When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road.
And having been warned, I think that understates the situation. I believe there could have been many feelings going through these wise men. Perhaps they were afraid. Why shouldn't they have been afraid of Herod, of what would happen to them or perhaps what would happen to the babe. I think their plans had to change. They had to do something different than what they had planned to do. The Bible doesn't tell us much about these people, but understanding that they knew the Christ had been born, that they were resolute in the fact that they were going to find this baby, they must have had specific plans on how and when they would return home. And yet, their plans changed. Perhaps they were thrown off course or out of balance, but regardless, they had to make new plans. So I'm one of those people who gets up at 4:30 in the morning, whether she has to or not, because I love the mornings. I love the quiet and the beauty and the feeling that it's new, that I can do something different, make new plans. I'm one of those people who loves Mondays because it's the start of the week. I don't have to do what I've done before. I can start again. I can make new plans. And I'm one of those people who just loves New Year's Eve, not because of the party, but because of tomorrow is the first day of a new year. And I do not have to do what I've done before. It's a restart for me. It's a new opportunity to do something different and change my plans. This morning, I was in the office singing, and Andrew and John looked at me, and if you've ever heard me singing, you know why they looked at me, and said, well, we can't compete with that. But that's because this is one of my favorite days, and tomorrow is my favorite day of the year. Because my plans can change, I can be new. And I like to think about those three people giving those specific gifts to the Christ. Because I think that those gifts changed Mary and Joseph's ability to reset their life. Because in verse 13, it tells you that they are told not to return home, but to go to Egypt. And I think humble people like Mary and Joseph probably didn't have the resources to get to Egypt unless those men had given them those gifts. It reset their life. It gave them the power and ability to move forward. This is a story of courage, of willingness to change, to reset, to do something different, to imagine a change in their life, in the life of the babe, and as we all know, the life of the world. This morning, we would like to invite you to spend some time meditating about your life, about what this story and the Christmas season has meant to you. And looking forward in 2018, is there something that you would like to do differently, or reset, or change? And in your worship guide, you will find an envelope and a piece of paper, and if it's fallen out, just raise your hand and Martin will bring you another one. And I'm going to give you a few minutes to spend in personal prayer and meditation. And if you would like to fill out some ideas and thoughts, maybe a challenge to you, maybe something that's going to take some courage, put it in your envelope, seal the envelope, and self-address it. I will send it to you in June, and we'll see how you do. We did this last year, and we got a lot of very positive comments. It's hard to remember 6 months, at least it is for me. And so we'll just send it out to you and see how you do in some personal challenges that you might want to set for yourself right now. So let's begin with prayer. Gracious God, give us courage to live the life that you are calling us to. Help us to tear down those barriers that stop us. Help us to hear your voice, to know where you want us to be, what you want us to do. Help us to invite you into this discussion and dialogue with us. We know you are there, and we know you are calling to us, but often, or at least sometimes, we just don't want to hear. Make our path clear this morning as we take a few minutes to think about who we are, who you want us to be, where we are, and where you want us to be. Amen.
Westwood United Methodist Church is located at 10497 Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles, between Westwood Village and Beverly Hills. Sundays are at the heart of this faith community's life, and we invite you to worship every Sunday at 10 a.m. A wide variety of opportunities for all ages are also available every week. To learn more, visit us on the web at www.westwoodumc.org or call the church office at area code 310-474-4511. I'm Janet Hoskins. Westwood United Methodist Church. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God.